It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Because we knew it was coming. So let me go ahead and tell you what was coming, why we were in a fear. Here on Declare Your Independence from Phoenix, Arizona, where realty prices are, probably a lot different than around the country. I mean, we had a big bubble, probably larger than most, you know, here in Nevada and California. And then all of a sudden it went boom, along with Florida, too. But there's what happened today. We've been talking about this, and here it comes. I don't care what the cheerleaders have been saying on CNBC and Bloomberg and all this. It's just all part of the machine. And that's why on Freedoms Phoenix, when you go there, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, you'll see that a lot of times we'll have this one graphic that, it's a long story, but the bottom line is they're looking for the perfect cheer. You have Will Ferrell from Saturday Night Live, and he's up there with his Spartans cheerleader outfit. And what they do is they say, what they need is the perfect cheer. Well, you know, it's so obvious what's going on. They are just manufacturing enthusiasm or trying to in support of a government program, day law, whatever it is, that the new past administration, this administration, the Federal Reserve, and it's just, they're just part of the machine. And about 3 weeks ago, Jim Rogers, billionaire biker, you know, he's a billionaire speculator, currency, go buy commodities kind of guy we used to have on the show every week on Charles Goyette's show. And he was just, tell us like it was. I mean, he told us when Freddie and Fannie, I think it was 04, 05, he's going, they're done, man. They stopped doing their quarterly required SEC reports. You want to know why? Why, yes, we do. Well, it's because they're lying. They have been. They're done. They're underwater. It's over. It's going. This whole thing of the House of Cards is starting to fall in. Here we go. And then the bubble kept going up for another year and a half, 2 years. He's going, doesn't matter. You know, we're done. I'm moving. He had a child. He's probably in his 60s, 70s. And he had a child later in his life. And she's now probably about 5 or 6 years old, got a Mandarin-speaking Chinese nanny and taught her to speak Chinese and moved to China. I think he lives in Singapore, too. And he said, you know, I see where the future is, and it's not the United States. Get out of the dollar. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And what was interesting is that there was a hedge fund that he and Soros started together, and they went separate ways. And they, of course, you know each other well and had differing philosophies. Rogers went, no, I'm going more for, you know, just kind of truth thing, Austrian economic government's in the way kind of deal, where Soros was the other way. No. We got the Keynesian dials we can turn. Yeah, just turn the dial and we can get some stuff done. Yeah, you can turn dials. You can change interest rates. You can increase, decrease money supply. You can do all kinds of stuff. But in the end, the free market always wins. And that's what Rogers was saying. A few weeks ago, he's on CNBC, and he said, you guys are just cheerleaders. And I'm going, oh, hey, man, you know, finally somebody on there just told him. And they know. They know. They know. They know. Well, today, September 15th, 2010, home price double dip begins on CNBC. You see, it gets so obvious that at some point they have to acknowledge it. They got to report it. They got to say it. After it's not news anymore, after everybody already knows, then the spin doctoring starts. Because that's what, you know, the lamestream media, the media so last century is all about. They don't report the news. They do spin on the news, which could be, I noticed this when I was doing radio, and we first, in February of 2003, I started doing the morning show here in Phoenix. Then it was 2005, a couple years later, that we started Freedom's Phoenix. There was so much information that we were accumulating, I couldn't possibly get it on the air. I mean, I don't even try anymore. We deal with issue at a time. I'll go a whole hour with one person. We'll learn a lot about something. You know, we had Mark Lerner on earlier today, first hour. Your body is your ID. All this national ID stuff. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's just database collecting, putting in one place. Heck, your face is your ID. Blip, boom, we know who you are. Oh, and all the stuff connected with you. You know, you go see Enemy of the State with Will Smith, and it used to think it was like science fiction. No, that's what they're doing. Heck, that's the old methods. It's getting worse. So, okay, so what's coming? Well, enough that there is a whole generation of people, the young, that were awakened with the access to information on the internet over the last few years. They became aware with the Dr. Paul campaign, Ron Paul Revolution. And I was, you know, involved in that, and I got to meet a lot of these people. I flew around the country talking to these guys, showing them how to make signs. You know, you want us to make, like, hey, you're confused with someone who cares what you make. I'm here to help you be able to express yourself. You can say whatever you want. We got, you know, DVD burners that we can do, and T-shirts and printing presses, and this is how you do YouTubes, and this, I mean, we were teaching people how that, what should we say? Whatever, man, go, because it's peer-reviewed amongst themselves. You know, Facebook, MySpace, all these other blogs, sites like Freedom's Phoenix, efforts like Liberty on Tour. Motorhome Diaries was the first effort that they did, and it was very successful, and they wanted to do it again, and they called it Liberty on Tour. Now we talked, I was earlier in the week, we talked with, was that Monday, I think, or late last week? Maybe it was late last week. We talked to a couple of guys associated with Students for Liberty and a Campaign for Liberty, and they're some of these young activists and so on. They're going to start the same kind of a tour of the Caribbean in a sailboat. Oh, that mainsail's mine. We'll get some Freedom's Phoenix bird on there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to be on the high seas. Well, when they go to a small community in one of these foreign countries, you know, they pull up on the beach and they say, yo, what's up? You know, we're going over here to talk about some freedom. How are they going to be greeted? What are the local gendarme going to say? You know, the mayor of, the governor of, the president of, the prime minister of. How are they going to be perceived? How are they going to be received? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And maybe they'll find a place. You know, this place, this island, they see the benefit of freedom. They want to announce. Heck, they would be announcing to the planet if they could get anybody to listen. Well, you know what? We're listening. Come down here. And there's hardly any bugs. Yeah, that's a thing for me. I like living in Arizona because there's no bugs. Well, certainly not, you know, when you're having a barbecue. But there's information that's coming out that we have been trying to share with people to let them know that, you know, it's time to get out. It's time. You know, if you think real estate prices are going to be going back up and you're waiting, don't. You know, if you think that, you know, the stock market's going to keep going up, it's not. You know, it's still up. I mean, it's going to take a dump big time. So, I mean, just for full disclosure, you know, I usually just, any extra money I got, I just go buy silver. More silver, more silver, more silver. Last week, because I knew silver was going to shoot up, I sold it. Why would you sell it at $20 and something when you know it's going to go up? So I could go buy silver mine stock. There's a Pan American silver company. It's PAAS on the stock exchange. Pass. And I opened up, it's been 10 years since I had a stock market account. And I went ahead and opened up an Ameritrade account because that's, you know, first popped in my head. I went there, you know, fill out all the stuff. That was amazing, just the application to fill that out, all the questions they want to know. But you go in, you fill all that out and everything. I sold some silver, and they go, man, this is a big tell for you, Ernie. You come in and you're selling silver? Oh, my goodness. What the heck's going on? I thought you thought silver was going to go. I go, yes, it is. So I'm going to sell us a nice little chunk here. And I'm going to buy me a bunch of silver stock because I think it's going to go up even faster than the silver is. And sure enough, both of them are going up. So I'm going, you know, I'm just diversifying a little bit in the same thing, silver. and I share this with you just so you know where I'm coming from. I think we're near the end. Now, this is going to start getting bad. And it's a small amount. I mean, it's not like, you know, gazillions of dollars. But, you know, it's everything that I have. I put in. What else am I going to put it in? I don't trust anything. When we come back, we'll go ahead and talk about what CNBC now is finally admitting. We've been screaming for months. Well, it's here. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Take it!
No, no, no.
You must take it!
You cannot offer me this ring!
I'm giving it to you!
Don't tempt me, Frodo! I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
What must we do? Three movies that, you know, 7-8 hours worth of Lord of the Rings, and it, the entire thing is distilled down into that 1 45-second spot. It's not who wears the ring of power. It's the ring. It is the power. This is monopoly of power. It's granted immunity of who gets to abuse the power. It's the, you know, it's all about this collective force de la we get to take from you and give to them and do, you know, what'd you think was going to happen? And there's so many things that are, it's all coming to bear. I mean, and it's, see, a lot of times people think that, well, it's just another blip in the business cycle. No, they've been pushing this off since forever. They've been turning dials for a long time. In fact, Dr. Ron Paul, when he ran for Congress for the first time in the mid-70s, the reason he did is us going off the gold standard under the Nixon administration. He goes, I know what happens. Here it comes. It's not if, it's when. So it's 35, 40 years later, and what happens? Now he's running for president. You know, got some people listening. Will he win? Heck no. They're not going to let him. You're still voting? You know, but heck, we're gonna use the opportunity. We're gonna educate some people, and you created a new generation that's sharing the truth with their generation. I was of the mind with these young guys with Liberty on Tour, as I started to see what was going on in the early '90s. I'd meet with legislators and congressmen and governor, and go to Washington. I went the whole bit. I mean, I just checked off all the boxes. Did you write your legislator? Meet your congressman? Did you run for office? Did you file suit? Did you vote? Did you check? Start over again? Check. I get it. I'm checked out. All right. I'm good. And I wasn't trying to do anything to convince anybody else. I couldn't possibly care less what everybody else thought. I'm just the way my personality is. I worked my butt off, my wife and I, my family, and some close friends, so that we could convince ourselves. So I don't try and convince you. I just try to help make you understand why I'm so convinced. Now, I've been through this. I get it. Okay? I so get it. But I can't be free unless I advocate it for everyone else. You know, a lot of times they say, well, you don't care about everybody. No, not really. I mean, do I have to care about everybody else's freedom so much that I'm going to advocate making them free with the military on the street corners in Baghdad? You know, we're gonna advocate freedom with a floppy disk. You know, at elections. I mean, we're gonna make democracy. I care about their freedom so much. I'm willing to steal from the people here to go advocate it for somebody somewhere else that doesn't want it. You know, or certainly not the way we want to do it. You know, I mean, you know, what's the real goal here? Of course, I want freedom for me. I'm selfish, man. You know, that's my whole point. Fortunately, for everybody, including me, I recognize the easiest, the best, and really the only way that I'm going to be able to achieve it for me is to advocate it for everyone. Because everybody wants freedom for other people to do exactly what they want them to do. You know, you are free to do what I tell you. You know, I mean, that's, of course you're free to do what I tell you to do. You know, this is the mentality that they have. So I'm like, I want to be left alone. Well, the only way I can justify that philosophy is advocate that everybody be left alone. You know, this sounds simple. You think it is until you get into politics, until you got somebody that's advocating for fill in the blank thing they want to use your money to do, or some freedom they want to take from you because, you know, it's going to make them safer. And by the way, my buddy over here gets a contract for the body scanning machine or something. You know, this happens all the time. So it's not about who has the power. It's the power. Well, and then the people that support that power. Well, you got the cheerleaders in the media. Home price double dip begins. Now, this is CNBC's article, but I want to, you know, there's other articles we have on Freedom's Phoenix. Freedom's with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You'll see just tons of stuff, and you'll see the headlines, and it'll be in a category of housing. You just click on housing. It's all the stuff that we did on housing. We have Economics USA, Economics International. We have, you know, all kinds of information. Of course, we have, you know, things on medicine and science and physical fitness, you know, like corn syrup. You know, high fructose corn syrup. They want it to be called corn sugar now. You know, that's not working out for us. Nobody wants it anymore. So we're going to change the name. Not going to change it. We're just going to change the name. You know, these guys are killing me, literally. So then you go, here we have the headline. And this is from Global Economic Analysis. And it's home prices drop in 36 states. 8 million foreclosure bound homes to hit the market. Prices are going to stagnate for a decade. That's just a headline. The small upward correction in home prices from multiple tax credit offerings died in July. Worse yet, inventory of homes for sale, as well as shadow inventory we've been screaming about, both soared. 8 million foreclosure-bound homes have yet to hit the market, according to Morgan Stanley. Now, the shadow inventory, these are homes that they're just not foreclosing on. These are ones that they have foreclosed on, or people have walked away and they got them, and we hear tales. We have guys come on the radio program and said, I'm like, why aren't you selling? Why aren't you liquidating these? I thought part of this bailout thing was that you had to liquidate all this, you know, toxic assets and your bad debts and, you know, blah, 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 blah. They go, they made it clear to us. You guys go liquidating this. You look like you might need to be audited. Really? You know, they made it clear. They did not want this, you know, for what? To get to what? What was this drug out for what? One more election cycle. Well, the tax credit went away in July, and boom, it's just plummeting. CNBC. The trouble with many of the indicators we report is that some are pretty current and others are severely lagging. Home sales are generally the former and home prices the latter. That's why, given the combination of the expiration of the home buyer tax credit and the increasing number of loans moving to final foreclosure, we knew that home prices overall would take a hit, but it would take a while. And we didn't want to share that with you. They knew. Yeah, we knew. But we cheerleaded every day on CNBC. Ah, these guys are killing me. Well, we're here. Two new reports out today prove the consequences of oversupply of organic inventory, 12.5 months on existing homes in July, according to the National Association of Realtors, and the shadow inventory of foreclosed properties. Estimates vary widely and wildly. CoreLogic's home price index shows home prices flat in July as transaction volume continues to decline. This was the first time in 5 months that no year-over-year gains were reported, according to the release. In June, prices were up 2.4% year-over-year. In addition, 36 states experienced price declines in July, twice the number in May, and the highest number since last November when prices nationally were still declining. And there's the rub. Prices have been recovering since last fall, largely thanks to the artificial stimulus of the $8,000 or $6,500 home buyer tax credit. But prices were also benefiting from a slight bump in confidence in the housing market, fed by an apparent drop in the foreclosure numbers. In reality, the foreclosure numbers were dropping only because banks and states were delaying the process as they tried to cram as many borrowers as possible into what we now know is a largely unsuccessful government-backed mortgage modification program. Who was telling you this? Screaming it, having guests on telling you. Oh, no. We're bottomed out. It's all up from here. How's that working out? And now we got CNBC telling us that they knew, but they didn't tell us.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, we want to just rumble with who? Who? What? What are we rumbling with? You know, it's ourselves. You know, it's that man-in-the-mirror thing. You know, this is, you just need to trust yourself, you know, and make decisions, you know, take action. You know, it's simple things. It's what you buy at the grocery store. You know, it's where you spend your money. It's how much you invest in your family and your friends. It's how you entertain yourself. It's where you go out to dinner. You know, I mean, it's wallet voting. You know, in 2003, 2004, I got the domain wallet voting, walletvoting.com.org. I let it expire because I just, it got larger than that, you know. But I got it, you know, I was going, you know, that's how, you know, it's wallet voting. And I just sat on it. And then Freedom's Phoenix kind of took over, and we did, you know, start focusing on that. But I always remembered that. I go, should I keep it? Should I let it go? Yeah, let somebody else do it because, you know, I'm busy enough. But can you really vote with money? Of course you can. That's the only way you get to vote. That's how a free market determines what you want to know. Everybody's like, you know, listen to me. You know, I have something. You know, what you're really saying is, hey, wake up, America. Wake up. You know, America needs to wake up. If America wasn't awake, you wouldn't have what you wanted on the grocery shelf. I mean, they're awake. They're supplying just about every need you could possibly imagine. The thing is that what you're really saying is, listen to me. Do it the way I want. That's what you're really saying. So, you know, what if we just did persuasion? That's the way Christ did it. You know, you read the New Testament, it wasn't about, you know, going to Caesar and say, make him be his brother's keeper. Take your legions, put a spear to his chest and say, thou shalt, you know, fill in the blank. It wasn't like that. You know, that's what made Christ such a powerful figure, is that he's like, look, man, I'm the way, the light. You know, I'm teaching by, you know, voluntary persuasion. Witness, parable, testimony, example. You know, these are very, very, very powerful methods, especially when you do it out of love. Love's a powerful thing. Because how do you criticize? And of course, they'll try to convince you that they love you. They love you so much, they're willing to give you something after they steal it from somebody else. Oh, yeah, you're a good guy. Once you start seeing that for what it is, you're going, yeah. I remember 1996 and 2000, Harry Brown was the Libertarian nominee for the Libertarian Party. And I think it was a 2000 campaign. He had a slogan, and he did commercials and so on with this kind of a theme. He said, are you willing to give up a favored government program for freedom? Think about it. He goes, you want to be free? Yeah, you say you want freedom, but are you willing to give up fill-in-the-blank government program that you like in order to get it? Think about it. Social Security, Medicare, now national health care. Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Then you have whatever program, the police, fire protection. What I mean, are you willing to give up your favorite program in order to get freedom? Are you? I am. I'm not afraid. Yeah, but yeah, whatever. You know, I want the option. Do I have the freedom to say, nah, I'm good? You know, I don't need to pay property taxes because I'm going to homeschool my kids. You know, I don't need to pay vehicle registration taxes because, you know, when I want to pay for the roads, I'll do it when I get my gas. Yeah, it's called gas taxes. You know, you think all the money just went to roads? No, they've been raiding that cookie jar for a long time. So I just want to know the truth. And one of the things that we did, 4409, Shelton, he's a videographer that does a lot of videos here on Freedom's Phoenix, and he has his own YouTube channel, and it's very popular. I think he has almost 20,000-something subscribers now. It's amazing. He puts a video up, boom, and goes, oh, he just did one. Oh, you know, you have to see it to really appreciate it. What it was, here, maybe I can play it. It's only about a minute, and I'll describe it to you. But what he did is he tortured the 9/11 Commission report. He's showing a video of him putting the 9/11 Commission report on an ironing board, and he had it at an angle, and he's pouring out of a gallon jug. He's pouring water on it. Quit lying to me! Quit lying to me! You know, and he's smoking it, burning it, doing all kinds of stuff. You're lying! You know, so he's torturing the 9/11 Commission report. So he just does these 1-2 minute little things, and he has an enormous audience, and he's really popular. Well, one time, it was about a year ago, when during the H1N1 crisis, you know, this big giant, oh my God, everybody's going to die if you don't get this vaccine. Well, we really went after it. I mean, we had a bunch of signs that we did. We, you know, it's a long story. We'll have a show on it, I'm sure, when they start amping it up again, which they are. And what he did is they, at the time, they had a story on CNN on Wolf Blitzer talking about that there was a lot of people complaining. They had a lawsuit going on about the autism that they claimed was brought upon their children because they did these vaccines. And they didn't tell them that there was mercury in it and all this other stuff that gave their children this big giant spike in autism and in, you know, just diminished mental capacity that you can't even measure sometimes is because of all these vaccines. Well, our two grandchildren, we're like, nope. And, you know, fortunately, my son and daughter-in-law, even though my daughter-in-law's mother is a maternity nurse, she, you know, helped deliver both of the babies. And to tell them to go, no, we don't want the vaccines. Well, she's like, you know, I've never even heard anybody. You know, I'm fine. Charles, you know, whatever, you know, sign here. Of course, they want you to sign all this stuff while you're in labor. You know, my daughter-in-law's in the birthing room just in a contraction, and they put a clipboard in front of her. And we told them, we warned them that they'd do this, you know. So they went in and they put refused, made a big deal about it, took a picture of it on their little Blackberries or whatever, and said, nope, no vaccines. Okay, cool. They do it. My grandson just born on my first granddaughter's birthday. So her little brother she got for a birthday present. She may not think that later, but, you know, they're born on the same day, no vaccines, they're doing great. You know, they're much, you know, larger than, you know, not heavy or fat or anything. They're just big. They're in a 93rd percentile in size. You look at these, my granddaughter, she's a year now, and you see other people 2 years, 3 years old, and they're going, oh, my child's, you know, 2, 3, and I'm going, wow. I mean, you don't say anything, but I'm going, is that normal? I mean, you know, it seems like my kids know. I remember my kids being about the, has the average changed or something? Is anybody keeping track anywhere? I mean, you know, is it average on what the birth weight and size is now as opposed to 10 years ago or just to people now? And, you know, I need to start searching this because I'm going, dang, man, there's something wrong. Maybe it's the vaccines. CNN was reporting that they had a ruling saying that, nope, the mercury and stuff in there, we just ruled that, no, it's not responsible for the autism in vaccine court. So 4409 did a video, his whole thing, what? Vaccine court? What the heck is vaccine court? Well, what they did is the pharmaceutical industry in the late 70s, 80s, and so on, they created an administrative court that they fund. It comes out of the sales of pharmaceuticals. They say, look, you know, for us to be able to make money and do all the stuff that we want to do, we need, you know, government special protections that if anybody sues us first, they have to go through our court to determine if there is any, you know, big giant, we're going to lose a lot of money problem, and we'll decide. And they go, nah, nothing to see here, move along. Really? But you have to go through that process years, decades, before you get to the real court you should have been able to go to begin with. Well, now they're starting to have decisions coming out. And here we have a young family, the first one to get the money. You know, here, let me open it up here. I thought I had it right here. The first child to get a settlement from vaccine, from this challenge to these immunizations. Family wins $1.5 million in autism vaccine payout. The family of Hannah Pollig, a 9-year-old girl, she's 9 now, is to be the first to receive compensation from the U.S. federal government for health problems associated with routine childhood vaccinations. From the federal government? Let's read on. As well as receiving a payout of $1.5 million, the family will receive $500,000 per year to pay for the child's care. But while CBS reports that 4,800 other cases are awaiting settlement in the federal vaccine court, Hannah's case may be a one-off. Wow. She began showing signs of autism with accompanying screaming fits after she'd been vaccinated against 9 diseases in July 2000, aged 18 months. The sum agreed reaffirms the government's initial promise to compensate the family in 2008. Back then, it concluded that the vaccinations may have aggravated an underlying inherited condition in Hannah's, whatever the heck of a disease they call, the powerhouses of cells that supply energy, mitochondria. Now, I'm wow. So this isn't even in the federal court. This is the vaccine court thing still. This is bad. And there's some other stuff I want to talk to you about on this when we come back. You guys stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
Yeah. Some more good time to have on this issue. I'm just, they're lying to us. Yeah, sorry about that intro. I pushed the button wrong myself. That was me. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that people always understood from my perspective was that I hate being lied to. You know, I always said, we know the truth. We know the truth, or at least we're seeking it. And what's the slogan of Freedom's Phoenix, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Now, that's been our big thing, right? Hey, now what is it? What is Freedom's Phoenix? What kind of, you know, site is that? How do you do, you know, I thought you were kind of, they don't really, I go, hey man, we're just uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. And we do it in various and creative ways. But one of the things that we've been keeping track of, if you go to Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see on the horizontal navigation bar up there, it says special editions. And what a lot of people don't know is there's a bunch of editions that are just like Freedom's Phoenix, but it looks the same, you know, and it operates the same. But we allow managing editors to create their own edition. You know, like my the senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix has Fascist Nation's Favorites. So he'll put stuff up there. We have Second Amendment is for everyone, so it focuses on Second Amendment stuff. We have the radio one for Declare Your Independence. We have Freedom's Phoenix Speakers Bureau. We have a lot of speakers and so on that we do for, like, from our Freedom Summit list of people. And we have, of course, the Freedom Summit and other things. Well, one of them towards the top, number, the fourth one down, and there's probably, I don't know, a couple dozen or so, but one is Ernie's Favorites. If you click on Ernie's Favorites, it's stuff that I think is good information. I just want to, when I can refer to something there and I want you to know about it, or you can go there and see it. And I don't change it that much. You know, I may, you know, drop one or two off here and add a couple, you know, that's more timely and so on. But they're all real good reference, cool videos and information that I like. And one thing that I put up there, as you scroll down, you'll see it says sugar. The Bitter Truth, High Fructose Corn Syrup. Now, Robert Lustig, you know, I should get him on. You know, let me go ahead. You know, I have my producer try and get him on. He's a professor of pediatrics at UC San Francisco. And he did a great presentation as a doctor, as a professor of pediatrics, on the effect of high fructose corn syrup on the body and how it's metabolized by the liver. This is exactly what I was looking for. I go, just somebody explain to me what it does, how it works, what the big deal is. Can anybody? Boom, there it was. And it was quite a long presentation. Let me see how long this thing is. And what it did is it gave us, it's an hour and a half. Yeah, it's huge. It's an hour and a half presentation. But what he does is he talks about how high fructose corn syrup is metabolized in your body. It's different than sugar. It doesn't, when sugar comes in, it turns off your hunger things. Like if you have sugar, you know, like you used to, you'll spoil your dinner. Well, you have a old fashioned Coke or Pepsi that was sugar. It would spoil your dinner because it stopped your hunger. It's like, I had a bunch of sugar. You know, that's what carbohydrates turn into sugar. I mean, you know, it's just go, hey, I just had a meal. I had, you know, half a bottle of sugar. Well, high fructose corn syrup doesn't do that. And that's why a lot of food manufacturers and fast food restaurants, like they put high fructose corn syrup in their stuff because it gives you the sweet taste, but it doesn't turn off your hunger. And it's metabolized in your liver differently. That so it kind of stores it over here and does it, and he goes into detail about it. But it explains what the problem was. And I go, oh, well, now what do they want to do? High fructose corn syrup would prefer not to be called that anymore. The most maligned sweetener in America now is trying to rebrand itself. The winning new message? We're no worse than our competitor. That's what manufacturers of high fructose corn syrup are trying to convey as they seek to change the name of their product to corn sugar. But are they telling us the truth? No. You know, it's why we have such a problem with obesity in this country, certainly with the young. And it's just, and if you watch this guy, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, go to the special editions in the horizontal navigation bar at the top, and you look for Ernie's favorites, and you just scroll down and you'll see it. And the graphic that we have is a giraffe. Now, you think of a giraffe as, you know, long and thin, but this giraffe is fat. And, man, I never look at a giraffe the same since I saw that graphic we put with this. A fat giraffe. I mean, you know, can you imagine? You know, big neck rolls and everything. I mean, ugh. Now, the high fructose corn syrup companies, man, they went at it. And I want to play for you. We'll see how this comes through. They have a corn syrup ad. They're fighting back. You know, they're trying to make sure that, you know, they keep their product on.
You want a bite?
I thought you loved me.
I do. Take two.
It's buffering. I'll let buffer up. And what they're doing is they're trying to, they're in a park having a picnic. And you got this attractive girl and her boyfriend. They're laying there on the green grass in the picnic. And then they did a spoof ad that I'll play right after it. And it was kind of almost identical situation, the same thing. And they're making fun of this high fructose corn syrup promotion ad. And she's like, here, would you? He goes, I thought you loved me. And she's holding a freeze pop. You know, you get out of the freezer, it's just a popsicle. And she's going, well, I do love you.
Bites.
It's got high fructose corn syrup in it.
So?
Well, you know what they say about it.
What?
That it's
that it's made from corn, has the same calories as sugar or honey, and it's fine in moderation.
You only wrote one?
And it's fine in
the facts.
Moderation.
You're in for a sweet surprise.
SweetSurprise.com. In moderation. Well, it's a moderation in freaking everything. You know, so it was, they were doing a campaign. Yeah, they wanted to bring this on. So what did they do? They start a television campaign trying to, confuse you. At least for a while. For like, I don't know, lobby Congress or get the name changed or something. We're going to call it corn sugar. You know, this is, oh man, these guys are killing me. Well, this was the spoof that they did in response.
Want a bite?
I thought you loved me.
I do. Take two bites.
It's got high fructose corn syrup in it.
So?
Well, you know what they say about it.
What?
That it causes obesity, increased risk of diabetes, might lead to life-threatening liver disease.
But...
Yeah, we're not dating anymore.
So, it's just because they can't. You know, it's an activist spoof on the same commercial. Sweet surprise, you know. So it's, I don't think that they anticipated the reaction that was going to happen from just activists and the internet. And it was a popular spoof. So that's why I have such optimism about the future. It's us just, you know, sharing with our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors just the truth. The truth hurts, man. I mean, and it costs some of the bad guys some money. Well, they don't like that neither. So, you know, I don't know. Where wouldn't you have support for control of the internet? Who's advocating for it? You know, for freedom, for you to be able to say what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want. It's really us. It's the people. You know, just us. Just a collective, just the individual us. You know, and there's so many of these organizations, groups, and special interests and everything, they're worried. You know, what's one of the other things coming out of California? You're going to like this. Okay, what do we have for you? Well, how about some marijuana-flavored ice cream? Pot-flavored ice cream, anyone? A new medical marijuana dispensary in Soquel is offering its customers a tasty alternative to smoking. Enjoying a bowl of pot-infused ice cream. Yeah, you decriminalize this stuff, you're going to be very, you know, interested in all the stuff that comes up. I don't know, are they going to be, you know, having Marlboro Man marijuana cigarettes or something? I don't know. You know, am I allowed not to care? I just don't care. Let people do whatever they want with their freedom. You know, freedom is an individual goal. You know, it's not a goal of anybody. It's the means that we use: nonviolence, no coercion, voluntary societies, people being able to do whatever they want as long as they're not violating someone else's freedom or rights. I mean, let them. That concept is old, but it's new to a lot of people, and it's taken trillions of dollars over decades, over generations, in our propaganda-filled media, federal licensed mass media. You got television, radio, you got to get a federal license. And they want to do, and the thing has always been, when they're critical of things like Second Amendment rights or something, you'll go to a newspaper and you always say, well, do you think you should have a permit to exercise your First Amendment? You know, you got to be careful. Someone might say, well, yes, I do. In fact, there's all kinds of lawsuits and so on the internet now, going after people that are reposting and sending out information that other people have created and so on. So we had the intellectual property discussion yesterday. You know, this is we're in a turning point in history. I mean, seriously, really, this is a big time in human history right now. You're living it. And it's all based on lies and deception. Let me tell you who's going to come out ahead on this whole thing. Those that don't advocate the lies. Doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter, you know, really what main issue you have. What if you just advocate for the truth? What would happen? I don't know. But we're all going to find out, because that's where we're going. And Freedom's Phoenix and Declare Your Independence is going to help. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the radio here on Liberty News Radio. See you then.